Welcome to Fortress of the Tribe, the only and original podcast of rsportsbaseball.com. Welcome back. My name is Rick Antonori, your host, and I realize it's been a while since we did the last podcast. That's my fault. I apologize. I want to thank everyone who's listened to all the previous ones. To be honest with you, we got to the playoffs, and it was a great experience. I'm going to share that with you as best I can. But in the long run, the R Indians got swept by the R Angels. We lost three straight games. Two of them were in extra innings. They were heartbreakers. And for pretty much the last month, I've been recovering just because of depression. I really felt we had a team that could make a solid run. And I have to give the R Angels credit. They just, you know, it just wound up being tough to score runs because in the playoffs, the stats that are used, you have two different types of stats. You have the players who are in the playoffs, so the R Indians have probably 85% of what is on the real team. They were in the playoffs, and if you remember, in the playoffs, the real Indians did nothing, absolutely nothing offensively. So I was handcuffed to begin with. I utilized players who were not in the playoffs. Example would be Jonathan Villar and Wilson Ramos. So because they were not in the playoffs, they weren't building stats. The R Sports Baseball creates a season algorithm that will be used for those situations. So that gave us, I was hoping, a chance to, you know, create some runs to, you know, help us win ball games. It did work, I got to be honest with you, but it just didn't work well enough. The pitching was pretty decent. We have a great, you know, starting pitching staff, but unfortunately, the first game we had led with Kluber, just like the real team did, and he didn't have such a great game. He did well for us, better than in real life, and he got through five innings, but he had given up a couple of runs. I say a couple of, seriously, two runs. Great outing. Struck out like 10, but unfortunately, we didn't score any at all. Zero, zip, zilch. So we lost 3-0 in the long run. Game two, extra inning marathon, 14 innings long. I literally was mentally exhausted trying to get through this, which is really what sold me on our sports baseball even more. I'm honestly just entrenched in it. Can't wait for next season. We're already starting to make plans for the 2019 season. I'm going to get into that in a minute or two. But game two, here's what happened. Tight ball game, back and forth, run here, run there. We wind up tying it out of nowhere. We're down 3-2 with one out in the ninth. I had Yandy Diaz in to play the game because he didn't really play too much in the playoffs. So I was hoping his season algorithm would help us out. Turns out it did. Wilson Ramos singled. I then pinch ran for him because he's not a very fast runner. And then Yandy Diaz wound up tripling to tie the game up. We got through the ninth with a tie game, 3-3. I still had Trevino pitching, who pitched fantastic. And then Familia backed him up, threw great. 10th inning. Familia got through. We're in the bottom of the 10th. Ramirez is on second base. Lindor's on first. One out. We have Brantley up. I say we got a shot to win this right now. Because if we don't, Familia's only got maybe one more inning in him, and we're in deep trouble because I had no bullpen left. So turns out Brantley hits a single. I send Ramirez. I think anyone else would on this planet. I send him. Sure enough, he gets thrown out of the plate. I'm ready to throw anything I could find through the window. But held it together and kept playing the game. Familia got through the 11th. I brought Ramirez in for the 12th and 13th. After Ramirez, I was down to what I knew was not going to be a good performance from Andrew Miller. He really did not throw well in the real playoffs. I had Brett Anderson to help with relief, but he's really not a great pitcher against right-handed batters. I knew that, but I had nobody else. And you're not allowed to bring a starter in unless you exhaust all your relief pitchers. So I had to try to bridge anything I could and then bring in Carrasco to close out the inning, hoping to get through undamaged. I would have went with Carrasco as long as I could. Unfortunately, with the combination of Miller and Anderson, they scored three runs in the top of the 14th before I could get Carrasco in the game, who threw two or three pitches and closed out the inning. And, you know, we just couldn't score any more runs after that, and we lost 6-3 in 14 innings. We had an off day, which helped out Carrasco because, you know, he didn't pitch, so he was going to be the starter for the third game, threw great six innings, gave up one run. We were winning 2-1 or 3-1. They wound up tying it in the seventh inning. Relief again, kind of, it was actually, I can't remember who. Trevino threw fantastic. For me, he didn't give up a run. I want to say it was Olson who just coughed up a run. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was. And then tied the game up. And then in the 10th inning, I had Ramirez because everyone else was exhausted. And he threw one bad pitch, probably a hanging slider. And Cole Calhoun knocked it out of the park, and we wound up losing that game in extra innings. So really a fantastic experience. We played on Game Changer, the app. I'm sure if you're a little bit familiar with that, you might have heard about it before. Game Changer is a broadcasting app for travel teams, high school teams, college teams, and they'll input the plays that are actually happening in the real game, and you get to see it played out on the app Game Changer. We use that and Skype to communicate our managerial decisions, which we had 10 seconds per play. So after a play, have a guy singles, you have 10 seconds to make a decision. Do I want to bunt? Do I want to steal? Do I want to hit and run? Do I just want to let it play out and let the guy hit? Does the other team want to change pitchers? Do they want to throw an intentional ball to see if I'm stealing a base and try to throw me out? Do they want to change their defense to, you know, play against a sacrifice bunt? So you have 10 seconds to make a decision. So really you're thinking 3, 4, 5 players in advance, which is really reminded me of when I was coaching college, which, you know, I love. So this was just everything I wanted it to be. Now, I know next year some of the hope and plans are going to be for our sports to leave the app Game Changer and have more of a app or game-like situations similar to MLB Game Day. That'd be pretty cool. From there, I believe the technological aspect of our sports is going to eventually be one that is similar to, let's say, PlayStation The Show or Xbox The Show. So I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's, as a team owner and investor, it's something that I think is really going to take off down the line. Esports itself is a huge phenomenon around the world, not just the United States. And baseball, as we know, is a worldly game. It's played pretty much around the world. Japan, Korea, China, Europe is playing. Germany, Netherlands, Italy, Spain, the Caribbean with Dominican Republic, the Bahamas, Bermuda, Puerto Rico. You got South America playing with Colombia, Venezuela, Panama. So baseball is pretty much worldwide, and I really see this, you know, taking off down the line. It's going to take a little bit. The technology, again, it's at a, we'll call it a beta stage, even though it's past that. And I could really tell you it was fun to really get involved with the games. Moving on from that, again, it was somewhat depressing to lose the playoffs. But overall, the season was, I believe, a success, even though truly a success is winning a championship. That didn't happen. So got to take a step back, analyze the whole thing. First year, we won the division championship. We actually have stickers for that now. we also have t-shirts, the commemorative t-shirts, as well as new hats. They're all on the website, rindians.com at the store. Please take a look. You can shop there. So the upcoming season now, we're in, you want to say it's the off season, but it's really not, because you're making plans for your 2019 team. Guys are going to, contracts are running out. Guys are going to become free agents. How are you going to replace these guys? Do you want to re-sign these guys? If you're going to re-sign them, how much are you going to give them? You have a budget because of what contracts and salary cap that you have. For us, the R Indians, we are currently looking at probably a surplus of potential free agent signing money of $59 million. I would say we have to do arbitration as well. Those are players who have played for a couple of years and are beyond making the minimum, they get raises. So we have to figure that out. Arbitration cases for some of our ball players is probably going to wind up being somewhere in the range of $12 to $16 million. So I figure our free agent money pool is close to $43 million. Now, with that said, I can start making potential trades of expiring contracts, or let's say, you know, yeah, definitely expiring contracts, or trade a player that I don't think is going to fit the team this year. Maybe it fits another team, and because of that, I can restock the farm system and, you know, build the team up that way. Now, I'll give you an example. Brandon Morrow makes $9 million a year for us next year that he signed to. However, he was hurt, didn't play in the playoffs, and to me, that's someone I really can't trust. So I've already put him on the trading block. He may or may not be traded, but if he is traded, that's $9 million unless I take on another player with a salary. But the goal with that is maybe take some prospects or maybe someone who's at the minimum salary now. We would definitely clear over $8 million on top of our 43 that I mentioned earlier. That's one way to build a free agent money pool. There could be some other possible trades. You know, I know in the real world, many people are wondering if the real Indians are going to be trading some of their pitchers, like Kluber, Bauer, Carrasco. For us, I did take a look at that. I dangled Kluber out there. I had a potential deal or two deals that were very intriguing. However, if I trade Kluber, then I got to sign a free agent pitcher. And looking at the free agent pitcher pool of starters, There are some nice ones out there. I don't want to take anything away from anybody. However, even if Kluber starts to have a down year at 33 years old, he's still better than 98% of the free agent pitchers that are out there. So why am I going to spend... Now, Kluber's contract is around $13.7 million this year. We free that up. But then I have to sign a free agent. He's probably going to be $15 to $20 million a year. So to me, that was something that I said, well, while I could trade Kluber, probably get some prospects to restock the farm system, I think we run with him for one more year. If he has a great year, his next two seasons are over $15 million apiece. If he has a great year again, I'm sure his trade value is going to be just as high, and maybe we'll move him then. With that said, we have a bunch of pitchers coming up through the minor leagues that may be ready to replace Kluber, and I don't have to spend the money on a free agent pitcher. Now, we also have Carlos Carrasco making $9 million this year and next year, and Julius Chacin about $8.75 million, and we have Mike Clevinger, who's still at the league minimum. So we have a front-running four pitchers that I'll put against anybody. So why would I look to spend my free agent money in the starting pitching rotation when really I only need maybe a number five starting pitcher, and then look for someone who could either pitch relief and or start and, you know, put him on the team. So I don't want to go into too much of the details of some of the plans that I have, but I did look at the whole possibility of trading Kluber and said, I think we're going to keep him. So there's other things going on, and as the season goes on and things get finalized in the next show or two, I'll reveal those. But right now, it's been exciting. Coming up in the next couple weeks, we have winter meetings in Las Vegas, just like the real baseball winter meetings. It's a few days after theirs. So looking forward to that. We're going to wind up hearing a little bit about the business of how our sports is doing and some of the aspects and other things that I've talked about over the years, like avenues of revenue and different ways that the teams make money. So I'm interested in that. There are a couple of teams that are actually for sale. I think some of the owners have decided to make a quick dollar and get out. Or, you know, it's a long season. At 162 games, if you're not an investor who is just an investor and you were able to accumulate a front office staff to run the organization, like me, I didn't have anybody, so I ran everything myself, which I think for me was better in the long run, because now that I've done everything for the team, I'm starting to take on interns. We have a new, we'll call it a hire. He's playing the role of assistant general manager. His name is Chris Hakes. He's going to help us out along with Morty Cohen, who's been helping us out with scouting. So I'm excited about how the year's going to unfold, and we'll see how the 2019 team develops. I will keep you abreast of that. As I said, transactions happen, potential free agent signings, trades. It's going to be a good, exciting 2019 season. Now, coming up in a couple of minutes, or our next segment, we actually have, and I hate to say this, and you're going to hear me say it again, but we actually have the 2018 R Sports Baseball Champion, the owner of the R Nationals, Greg Lathrop. He's going to be joining us, and I look forward to the interview. Hope you enjoyed as well. Thank you for always listening to the show. Once again, we are Fortress of the Tribe, and brought to you by rsportsbaseball.com. Thanks a lot. See you next show. Hey, welcome back to the show, everybody. With us tonight is special guest, and I hate to say this, but the 2018 R Sports World Champion, Greg Lathrop of the R Nationals. Greg, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much, Rick.
So, as I talked about in my previous segment, the playoffs were live, and it was a battle. You had about 10 seconds to make a decision as a manager, an in-game manager, after each play, and you had to type it in through Skype, and then the app Game Changer showed how the play rolled out. I do know that in the future they're hoping to get more and more realistic, more and more into, as time passes over the next couple of years, kind of like PlayStation MLB The Show or, you know, Xbox. I know next year they're hoping to do like an MLB Game Day kind of review. How did you find, since you won the whole thing, how did you find playing the games?
Oh, man, I loved it. I would say as much as I enjoyed the regular season and the lineup manipulation and just management of over a six-month period, the live gameplay was, exciting-wise and entertainment value-wise, was tenfold. Just 2 hours straight of roster decisions, game-time decisions. Do you want to hit and run? You know, do you want to lay back and just let the play go on its own? It was awesome. It was engaging and frustrating at times, but man, it was fun. Win or lose, it was a lot of fun.
That's good. I mean, you did spend the Nationals. You spent some extra money building your team, but a lot of us did. Sure. Who made the playoffs? It's our own. I mean, we own the team, so it's our own personal choices. What do you think the 2019 season is going to bring? I know there are going to be some rule changes, such as they said that there's not going to have the ability to see the other team's lineup going into the game or something like that.
Yeah, not 100% sure. I'm looking forward to hearing in depth some of these ideas out at the Vegas coming up here in December. I think that will it'll take some of the strategy, last second strategy of looking at a lineup or looking at a starting pitcher. I think it'll probably be a benefit overall for the league, so that everybody's not trying to get their lineup in last second and make the last final changes. But I think based on the group of guys we had and, you know, some of us that really dive into it, I think we'll all adjust and find a way to make it the best way that it can be.
Speaking of diving in, what was your expectations at the beginning of the season?
I would say I was a doubter at the beginning of the season. I kind of just dipped my toe in the water after hours of talks with Tory. He kind of convinced me to come in at a low investment rate at first and make some payments, and it didn't take long for me to see how bought into this our sports is and how bought into it some of the owners are. And I would say about a month into the season, I realized it was something that I really wanted to be a part of, and then started getting more and more involved in and really start working the, you know, the trades and the free agent pickups and expanding my salary cap and really diving in full time.
Now, Greg, you're doing all this by yourself, correct?
Yeah, I had a partner, Scott White, for about a month.
Oh, okay.
We kind of bounced ideas off of each other, but he had a baby and got switched to midnights, and we just kind of decided that he was just going to back out. So, yeah, long story short, yeah, we pretty much do it all by myself.
Okay, I'm in the same boat with you. I'm actually trying to build a front office.
As am I. As am I.
You know, with some interns to try to get a little help. I will say this. I have found a couple of people. I'm trialing them right now, we'll say. Mm-hmm. And because I think you can reflect on this a little bit. You know, at the beginning of the season, it's a baseball team, and yeah, it's kind of your franchise. But I think you found yourself as the season went on. This was, if you're a baseball fan, this is your shot to, you know, win a championship that you said you created from the bottom up, team wise.
For sure, and the longer that this league goes, the more we will have to do that. You know, yourself and myself, we bought some pretty good contenders.
Yeah, I will say I did luck out. I mean, I fell into it. I'm sure you heard my story. I was late to the party. In fact, all the teams are gone, and
you were the second. You were the first guy to come in after me. I was right before you.
Okay, so yeah, I kind of lucked out. I'm not going to lie. I mean, being in Ohio, it's convenient to have the Cleveland Indians. but you know, from New York, as most of the listeners know, it's tough when you're a diehard Met fan and you're. Yeah, you're actually keeping an eye on a completely different team because you need to know what your own franchise, your investment is doing.
For sure.
But I definitely felt. I mean, I've told people before. This is as much as a diehard Met fan as I am. It helped that one, they're terrible. Two, this was the first year doing this league. I was literally watching 8 to 10 games at a clip. I have DirecTV satellite, and I was able to watch one channel 8 games at least.
Right.
So,
same boat here. I'm a diehard, lifelong Tiger fan.
Okay.
And A, it helped that they're terrible also. And B, I know more about the Washington Nationals franchise now than I've ever known about my Tigers. Just, you know, as you know, from rookie ball all the way through any potential contract that you can manipulate over the coming years, you know it inside and out now. And that's probably my favorite part about this league is it's just so engaging and so... it just teaches us so much about, as you were saying, there's almost no off season. It's just nonstop trying to find the best thing you can do to build your franchise.
Yes, I agree. And I think that's, I think we were saying it before, the need to somehow develop a front office is only going to be essential, I think, as this gets deeper and deeper and bigger and bigger. But I think the toughest thing is actually letting someone else run the team.
Yep, for sure. Yeah, I'm looking to bring in like a minor league scout or even a director of player development. I am not looking to bring in a full-time general manager and or game manager. Even that, those are the things I enjoy the most.
Yeah, I see. I look at this as I think I kind of want to be either a Theo Epstein or a George Steinbrenner. The George Steinbrenner part of the thing is kind of interesting to me because I could just sit back and then fire people when I want.
Yeah.
But
I want to be in the trenches.
Yeah, I mean, I do enjoy the game-to-game strategy. I'm kind of curious as the seasons go on. I know the playoffs are going to be live. I'm kind of curious to see if as seasons go on that the regular season, if that turns into a live version down the line. That'd be actually probably tough to do, but...
It'd be tough, but it'd be awesome to have the option. You know, some games you want to, some games you don't. You can jump in and manage online.
That's true.
Yeah, it would be very time consuming doing that 162 times a year.
Right. I mean, I do think that when you think about it, it could behoove them to eventually get to the technology that they actually have, like, players on a field. And like you just said, you can jump in and manage the game and jump out, stuff like that. And from everything I hear in the conference calls that we have, it sounds like that's a possibility in the next, you know, down the line number of years.
For sure.
Now, are you headed to Vegas for the Wyndham meetings?
For sure. Looking forward to
Excellent.
It. It's going to be, you know, per what we're told, it's going to be pretty close similarities to what the real winter meetings are like, and they're going to try to, you know, recreate that experience for us as well as give us some time face-to-face with.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it myself.
Big deal down here or there.
Yeah.
Coming after Kluber down there in Vegas.
you and about six other teams.
You and everybody else.
Yeah. I since you brought that up, and we are in the free agent period now, and there's been a lot of action going on. I like the fact that if you're following our sports at all, they have a Twitter feed. I think it's just for us owners, but a rumor Twitter feed that talks about where potential players are going to sign and stuff like this. And I like the fact that they gave us the option of having an agent feed that when you're close to signing a free agent, the negotiations get more private and more interactive. I like that option. I think it was an excellent move by the company.
Sometimes when you're trying to negotiate, you know, they might email you while you're sleeping or don't write you back for a few hours while you're ready to negotiate. So I agree, getting that agent going when things get down to the wire and you can really throw some numbers back and forth. So that's what I'm hoping is the point of it. You know, immediate response and immediate rebuttals. That'll be cool.
Yeah, I was actually involved in one recently. I'm not going to – we just so listeners know, both Greg and I agreed not to be talking too much deeply into free agents because each owner has their own plan. And
for sure.
You know, we don't want to – I do know and I appreciate that the other owners listen into each show, but sorry, you're not going to get any tips on what Greg and I are going to be doing. Now, Kluber was mentioned, and I did dangle him out there. I honestly pulled him back because – I really started looking at the free agent pitching list, and I said to myself, even if he starts to have a down year, he's still better than 90% of the free agent pitchers out there.
For sure. 90%.
Probably 95%. I mean, outside of maybe Kershaw. And
that's better.
Yeah, so I'm like, what am I – if I wanted to turn it around, I thought about maybe building the farm system back up. But I did, and you could reflect on your draft. I kind of liked the draft that I had and the players that I was able to sign. For myself, I've been aggressive in the international market. So how are you doing with that? Are you someone who likes the international market, or do you sit back and rely on what's going on in America?
I came in with a $300,000 cap on any player, on any one player, which quickly eliminated us from any of the top 50 players, because of some signings the Nationals did back in 2016. They had that stipulation on them. So long story short, I made an intentional effort to just trade all of our IFA money away, being we weren't going to get any top guy.
Oh, that's a good – I mean, it's a strategy. You kind of hands were tied then.
Yeah, we were handcuffed there. But as far as the June draft went, the first-year player draft, I would say it would give us a D minus or an E maybe on our draft. It was
really,
that was one of the areas the other guy was supposed to. That was the area the other guy was supposed to do. And about a week before it, he let me know he was not ready for it. And that's kind of when we parted ways. And not parted ways. He just took a break from the team. I'll say.
Okay.
And I wasn't prepared for it. And I just got into the draft, pulled up a random website, and went straight down their list. So definitely an F on our draft.
Oh.
We did well during the season. We did well in our free agent signings. We did not do well in our draft. So that's going to hurt us in some years to come.
Well, as host of the Fortune of the Tribe, I'm sorry to hear that. As an opponent of yours, eventually, I'm happy as can be.
For sure. That's what I'd be if I were you.
I was lucky. I've been having success if this might help you, I put an ad out on LinkedIn, wound up getting my first intern early in the season. Name is Morty. He's in New York City. He goes to Yeshiva University. He helped me out a lot with scouting, especially during the draft. He did an excellent job as far as giving me like an Excel sheet breakdown of what he felt was, you know, I gave him categories to fill out, you know, top 10 athletic, best by position. He filled it all out. He was fantastic. Fortunately, that's helped me out. And then second, I recently did an ad on Indeed.com for unpaid interns. And I'm learning in my age, and you know, when I went to school years ago, an intern was meant you worked for free. You volunteered your time to gain experience. But apparently now there's two definitions of intern, and if you don't put unpaid in front of it, then everyone expects to get paid.
Correct.
So I learned that one. But I put out two ads actually for social media assistants and front office assistants. So far, I've gotten some guy helped me with social media, and another guy just joined the team as a. He's trialing right now, but he's doing quite well. His name is Chris Hakes, and he's out of Dayton, Ohio, and he's joining our Indians as a assistant general manager. So I guess my suggestion to you is, since you're looking to do the same, I mean, those two avenues you might want to investigate.
All right, I appreciate it.
Yeah, so I know, you know, we're both busy businessmen. We got a lot of stuff to do. Again, I want to congratulate you on your championship.
Thank you.
Secretly, I hate your guts, but that's okay. I will have to buy you a drink in Vegas. You did win, so.
First round's definitely going to be on the Nationals.
Yeah. So again, ladies and gentlemen, the 2018 R Sports champion, Greg Lathrop. Greg, thank you very much for joining the show.
Thank you, sir. Have a great night.
Take it easy. Fortress of the Tribe is brought to you by TrendBond.com. For all your entertainment news, go to TrendBond.com. DecaSlides. Decorative covers for your Apple earbuds or Beats headphones. Shop at DecaSlides.com. DecaSlides.com. 224 Performance. Taking elite training to a whole new level. Visit 224performance.com. RC Solutions, professional promotional products at your fingertips. Go to rcsolutions.us, mention rindians.com and receive 10% off. Empire Baseball, baseball, softball, strength training, and college recruiting, all at Empire Baseball. Simply Mocktail, take a trip to the islands by going to your refrigerator. Drink Simply Mocktail, order on Facebook. Fortune of the Tribe is property of MJO Athletics.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.